Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Adrian, Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
My question is, how do you know if, a believer is being afflicted by a demon or devil? And, also if they're, having problems with desiring, what can help?
Yeah, well, I think what ultimately can help is to put on the full armor of God, because if you do, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. But the notion that a Christian can be demon-possessed, of course, is unbiblical. Christians cannot be possessed by a demon because they are possessed by the Holy Spirit, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So those who are possessed by the Holy Spirit can be tormented by demons through mind-to-mind communication, but the antidote, again, is to put on the full armor of God. If we do, then we recognize the power of God to protect, as opposed to emphasizing the wrong thing, the power of Satan to pillage.
Yeah. What about, Christians who get into behavioral health issues? Mine's been schizoaffective with bipolar tendencies, and, there's a lot of hard times trying to, feel desire and...
Yep.
And whatnot.
Adrian, if this is a medical issue, you should be treated medically. For example, one of the stories that I talk about in the covering is a man who was killed. He was a Wycliffe Bible translator named Edmund Fabian, and he was killed by his assistant, who was a native of Papua New Guinea. That person who was working with him was a schizophrenic. And he ended up killing him during a schizophrenic episode. Now, when he was being treated, when he was on medication, he was rational, sober, he studied the scripture, he could communicate and memorize his faith. But when he was not on medication, he was literally a wild man capable of murder. And in the end, that was affected. So the point here is that if it is a medical or a psychosomatic problem, then you need to get help in that area. The same thing is true if you had cancer. I mean, I could give you all kinds of spiritual anecdotes and so forth, but if you got cancer, I wouldn't be your friend if I didn't tell you to go to a cancer specialist. So I think it's important for us to recognize that there are spiritual issues that have to be dealt with spiritually, but there are also medical issues that have to be dealt with medically.
Okay. Do we, just go and put our minds or heads, which have been filled up with a lot of stuff that, whether good or bad, do we put that toward the Lord and ask for his healing?
Yeah, we do. And we recognize, though, that in this life, you are going to deal with all kinds of difficulties and maladies, physical and otherwise. That's the human condition that I started talking about at the start of answering your question. And so we recognize that Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of Christ's resurrection. By the way, if you want to hang on, the covering would be the perfect book for you, I think, to give you a good grounding with respect to spiritual warfare, but also a good grounding with respect to what to do if that is not the systemic issue. Of course, sin is always the systemic issue. That's why we live in a cursed creation, but that's another story. I want to go back to the phone lines. Timothy in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Timothy.
Hi, Hank. Been listening for a long time now. and appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you spreading the truth the way you do.
Thank you.
My question today is to do with the rapture, and it seems like I've heard you talk about it before. I know that you have. I'm trying to figure out, quick backstory, I'm about 30, and I felt like I'm supposed to start doing some preaching for the Lord and trying to do everything I can in the last days here that I believe we're in for Him, and just to serve Him in every way that I can. And as I go preaching, I've realized the need to know what I believe and to know what God's Word says. And in relation to the teaching of the rapture that I hear in the church, I've always grown up in a Baptist-style church that believes the rapture and taught the rapture, and now where I go, I guess they do too. But I personally, as I try to study the topic and read it, I believe what the Bible says and about there being a catching away and different things and Jesus' second coming, but I can't find any specific places where I can, with my own common sense, come up with where it's talking about the rapture. I want to know what you thought about it and just what you had to say on that.
Well, I don't think there's either a verse or a collection of verses in the whole of Scripture that can be used to underscore or validate biblically the notion of a secret coming of Jesus Christ separated by 7 years from a second coming of Jesus Christ. I think when you look at the clear passages of Scripture, what you recognize immediately is that when Jesus appears a second time, not a second and a third time, but a second time, then all who are dead will rise. In fact, those who are still living will be transformed from mortal to immortal. That's what the clear teaching of Scripture is. And if you look at the passages that are typically used, they don't make the point for a pre-tribulational rapture. The most famous of those passages being 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you read it contextually, you find out that it has nothing to do with a pre-tribulational rapture. In fact, it has everything to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, I use this very passage when I do funerals. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. The context at the very beginning of the verses that are used for a pre-tribulational rapture, the context is about resurrection, and that's why we don't grieve like the rest of those who have no hope. So this whole passage has nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus coming down, hovering in midair. We go up to meet Him. He takes us to heaven for 7 years. And then after those 7 years, we come back with Him in a visible coming. That's not what this is something that you have to impose on the biblical text. And actually, what's interesting historically is that this whole notion actually comes out of the 19th century. Now, there are those who have tried to argue that it actually comes earlier on in history, but in the Apocalypse Code, I demonstrate that that is clearly not the case. This is a 19th century idea. Just as there was a precursor to the evolution of Darwin, so there may be some slight precursors to what the teachings of John Nelson Darby were in the 19th century, but at the end of the day, he was the one that popularized this notion and solidified it as a dogma in the church in the present. So he was at the genesis, at the foundation of this notion, because he believed that God had two distinct people with two distinct plans, and therefore had to come up with two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming separated by 7 years by a second coming. The fact of the matter is, there is not, as I said at the very beginning, either a verse or a collection of verses to solidify that position. Now, a lot of people will argue and say, yeah, but all these prominent preachers are teaching this. I was just with one of them. One of the most brilliant men I've ever met and one of the best preachers I have ever met. And you know what he told me? Over dinner, candidly, he told me, Hank, I am starting to waver on my view after reading your books. And you know what? The only reason I taught what I taught was because that is what I myself have been taught. But I've been challenged by you to look at the passages, and you're right. Those passages are not passages about a pre-tribulational rapture. They're passages about other things, whether it's John 14, Revelation chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, or other passages. Not a passage or collection of passages makes the point for a pre-tribulational rapture. And that's why I don't believe in it, because I'm not motivated by popularity or what happens to be the in thing in the 21st century, but I'm motivated by what does Scripture say. So no matter how popular it is, whether it's the purgatory of the Roman Catholics or the various views of limbo that have been held throughout church histories, I don't care how popular it becomes. What I care about is, does it correspond with the Bible? We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. www.bibleanswerman.org. If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone calls. Next up is Bob in Dumfries, Virginia. Hi, Bob.
How you doing? My question today is, have you ever heard of Tony Jones? He has a book out called A Better Atonement, and he's like a big pusher for the emergent church. I didn't know if you knew what their beliefs was or like what differs from that to what the Bible says or...
Yeah, well, I mean, emergent church is kind of a fluid term, but if you're describing liberals within the emergent church movement, they are not theological evangelical, and they are those who are now redefining Christianity because they think Christianity has to be redefined, otherwise it's no longer in harmony with the culture. And so you have Rob Bell as one of the leaders, Brian McLaren, Doug Padgett, and others who are leaders in this liberal branch of the emergent church movement that are redefining Christianity, from redefining hell to redefining marriage to redefining even the significance of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So the liberal branch or highway of the emergent church movement is a branch that is leading Christianity into the abyss.
Okay. So they believe, what about the atonement, like with Jesus died on the cross? Are they pushing the same atonement, or is that a whole different...
Well, let me give you an idea of how they work with this. Number one, someone like a Rob Bell will say that it is possible to be restored or redeemed after death. Not only that, but with respect to the virgin conception of Jesus Christ, Rob Bell says that, well, if Jesus had a real earthly biological father and he was named Larry, an archaeologist would find Larry's tomb, and then they would do DNA samples and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a bit of mythology. We would, he says, then essentially lose nothing, no significant part of our faith, because it's more about how we live. Now, think about that for a moment. The alternative to the virgin birth is that Mary was a sexually promiscuous woman who conceived Jesus Christ illegitimately. If the virgin conception were untrue, the story of Jesus would obviously then have to change dramatically. We would have a sexually promiscuous young woman lying about God's miraculous hand in the birth of her son, raising that son to declare that he is God, and then joining his religion. If we are willing to disbelieve the virgin conception, we are flatly and plainly stating that Scripture has not only mistakes but outright lies. So now we lose our authority for the faith. So these people sound so good. You can almost hear the purr of the serpent. But what they're communicating absolutely devastates the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Here's another example. Bell suggests that virtually everyone from Gandhi to God-denying atheists will likely end up in heaven. And he says to believe something else is to hold to a monstrous God. His words, a cruel, mean, vicious tormentor, a God who is loving one moment, vicious the next. If there were an earthly father who was like that, we would call the authorities. If there was an actual human dad who was that volatile, we would contact Child Protection Services immediately. He went on to say, if your God will punish people for all eternity for sins committed in a few short years, there's something so drastically wrong that no amount of clever marketing or compelling language can camouflage it. So now, hell is virtually eradicated. The virgin birth is called into question. He may believe it, but he says that's not really what it's all about. And not only that, but now marriage is being redefined. And by the logic that he uses to redefine marriage, group marriage, polygamy, incest would also be fine. So these people, under the guise of making us more palatable to the culture, are actually shipwrecking the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And I'm just using Rob as an exemplar in that he is one of the big names in that movement. But there are many others that could be alluded to, including maybe the father of this movement, Brian McLaren, who has really gone off the cliff.
Well, I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for your call. I've written about Rob Bell in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Why? Because, you know, hell has all but disappeared and no one seems to have noticed. And yet, the notion of hell was very prevalent in the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back to the phone lines. Joseph, St. Louis, Missouri, next. Hi, Joseph.
What's up? I have a question. I understand that there are a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament that that Jesus Christ did fulfill. You know, I was just researching a whole bunch of things about the Jewish beliefs and things like that, and the reasons that they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior is because of a lot of the prophecies that wasn't fulfilled. Like, just for example, like Isaiah 2:4, you know what I mean? And a whole bunch of other ones like that. It just really got me thinking and confused me quite a bit, and I was just wondering, you know, your perspective on that.
Well, my perspective is that you have to make a distinction between predictive prophecy and typological prophecy. Typological prophecy is a very, very powerful way through which you can reach out to those who are trapped in Judaism. And typological prophecy is something that so often is mistaken even by evangelicals. And so we fail to recognize the distinction between the two. Again, the difference between typological prophecy and prophecy, which is predictive in nature. Predictive prophecy is fairly straightforward. So Micah 5:2 is a predictive prophecy directly and specifically fulfilled with the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Typological prophecy is somewhat more complex in that it involves a divinely intended pattern of events that encompasses both historical correspondence and intensification. Typology, as such, views the relationship of Old Testament events to those in the New Dispensation not as a one-to-one correspondence in which the old is repeated or continued, but rather in terms of two principles. What I just mentioned, historical correspondence and escalation. So when Matthew says that the virgin birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, he is speaking of typological rather than predictive prophecy. So only when the elegance of typology is comprehended by our Jewish friends can the mystery of Scripture be fully apprehended. But look, I mean, I think that there are simple ways of going about this as well. The simple way of going about this is demonstrating, and this doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or you're garden variety pagan or a Muslim, it doesn't really make a difference. The fact is, only Jesus could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. His ancestry was marked, his birthplace foretold, circumstances surrounding his death were prophesied before crucifixion was ever invented. The date of his visitation was predicted within historically narrow time parameters. He would be too small for him to bring back only those of Israel, and therefore he would also be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation could go to the ends of the earth. So only the God of the Bible could have etched a prophetic portrait of Christ in the Old Testament, and only God could cause it to take flesh in the new, and only Jesus of Nazareth, the unique superstar, could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Now, I've laid all of this out from typological prophecy through predictive prophecies that demonstrate that only Jesus can be the Messiah. And therefore, as a Jew, you don't have to wait for the appearing of Messiah. He has already appeared, and he will appear a second time. We are out of time. I'm going to have to leave it at that, but I've written about this and some of the other passages mentioned in my book, Has God Spoken? As I close, pray for this ministry. Support us financially. We need you right now. We'll see you next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.